Amen. So this morning, there's this very special meeting called the Lord's Table. You know, in the church, we may experience many different types of meetings, right? You may have the gospel meeting. Maybe many of you are used to the young people's meeting. There's the prayer meeting, right? All of these meetings are very important. But the most important meeting in the Bible is the Lord's Table meeting. Because this is a meeting that the Lord Himself established. We just had recently had a wonderful blending conference regarding the foot washing. You know, the Lord did two things before He went to the cross. He established the practice of foot washing, and He established the Lord's Table. And this shows how important it is to the Lord. And so I'm going to read a few portions from the Bible. Luke 22, I'll read it to you. Luke 22, 19 and 20. And He took a loaf and gave thanks, and He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is My body, which is being given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And similarly, the cup after they had dined, saying, "This cup is the new covenant established in My blood, which is being poured out for you." Right, so the Lord mentions this practice to do unto the remembrance of Me. I don't know what your concept of remembrance might be. Right? In our natural concept, we might think to remember the Lord is to contemplate all the good things that He did for us. And it's not a bad thing, right? To remember that the Lord lived a perfect human living, went to the cross, died for you, resurrected, and became the life-giving Spirit. But if that's the extent of our remembrance of Him, that falls way short of what the Lord is talking about. Right? Because this was in the context of Him breaking the bread and passing the cup. Meaning, He wanted His disciples who were there with Him to eat and drink of Him. Right? So the real remembrance of the Lord is to partake of who He is, to eat and drink of Him. You know, how do we do that? Right? We have our mingled spirit. Right? He doesn't want us to just remember Him in our mind and think about everything that He's done for us. But He really wants us to participate in who He is. And we have these physical symbols before us. Right? On the one hand, we're taking it physically, but there's a much deeper significance, spiritual significance. And to cover the Lord's table in 15 minutes is not an easy task, right? Because you can have a whole conference on the Lord's table. There's so many different aspects of the Lord's table. But really, the main burden is that we're here to remember the Lord. That means He is the focus of this table. You know, when we come to the table, everything should be laid aside, right? This is not a time for us to pray about the gospel. This is not a time for us to pray for, you know, some practical things. This is a time for us to remember the Lord by praising Him. So there's so many different aspects that we can praise Him for, right? In this song that we sang earlier this morning, you know, we can praise Him as the King. We can praise Him as our Savior. We can praise Him for His blood that He shed for us, you know, for becoming the life-giving Spirit that we can receive Him. Right? So this is what it means to praise Him and, in a practical way, to eat and drink of Him. And this is what He's talking about. Let me read one more. Actually, in terms of the outline on the Lord's table, I'm not going to cover everything, but I want to focus on points 4, 5, 6, and 7. Right, so to remember the Lord is what we just covered in this portion that we read in Luke 22. So by partaking of this bread that's before us, the reason there's a bread and a cup is the bread signifies His body that was broken for us. Right, so when we break the bread and partake of Him, we're actually enjoying Him for what He has done for us. And by ingesting all that He is, all who He is, not just all that He has done, but everything that He is to us. And then the cup enters, allows us to enter into the fellowship of this body. Right? So we always hear about the body of Christ. Right? There's this mystical body of Christ, which is made up of all the believers past and present and future. Right? So it may not be someone we even know, but when we are participating in this bread and cup, we are practically participating in this mystical body of Christ. Right? In John 12:24, right, it mentions the grain of wheat, right? We know that it says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Right? What this is referring to is at one point, the Lord, as the only begotten Son of Christ, was the only grain. But he fell into the earth to die. And today, we're here praising him as the one loaf made up of the many grains. This bread that we see represents the many grains, including the Lord himself, as the one body that we can all participate in. And by participating, we are entering into a union with him. You know, the greatest principle of eating and drinking is receiving. Right? When you eat something, you're receiving what you eat into you. And so every time we remember the Lord by eating and drinking of him, we enter into a deeper union with the Lord. Right, so this is something so meaningful. Right? We have the Lord's Day. Today is the first day of the week. You know, we see in the book of Acts in chapter 2, we see the saints at that time practicing the Lord's table every day, house to house. And then towards the tail end of Acts, in Acts chapter 20, they were practicing it once a week on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. You know, it's so good to begin the week by enjoying the Lord, by being able to participate in the Lord's table. You know, what a beginning. Now, you know, I'll spare you the singing, but as I was preparing, I was reminded of a children's meeting song we used to sing. You know, it's meeting time. It's meeting time. It's the first day of the week. It's meeting time, right? What a special day to praise and sing. It's the, you know, praise God, it's meeting time. But in a sense, the meeting time really should be replaced with feasting time, right? Because when we come together for the Lord's table, it's a real feast, right? You may hear some of the co-workers when they share on the matter of the Lord's table, they don't even like to call it a Lord's table meeting, because sometimes in our concept, when we hear the word meeting, it has a certain, I don't know, formality to it, right? But we have to have the view that the Lord's table is a feast. We come together to offer our praises in a practical way. Sometimes we may not know what to say. How do we praise the Lord? How do we adore him? Right? We praise the Lord, we have the hymns. Right? Sometimes if you don't know what to say, just read a line from the hymn. There are plenty of hymns on the worship of the Lord. And if we just declare one of those, Lord, as our prayer to him, that's our practical participation in the Lord's table. That's how we participate in this rich feast. There's another hymn, I don't remember the number, but I remember there's a line that says, our mouth shut up defeats us and wins the devil's smile. So why not open battle and chase him all the while? The way we chase away the enemy is by opening our mouth to offer a praise to the Lord. We don't want to win the devil's smile, right? But if we keep our mouths shut, that's what happens. The enemy gains the victory. But this morning, we're praising our victorious Christ and participating in all that he has done and all who he is. The next point, Roman numeral 5, to declare the Lord's death. Let me just read another portion. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you declare the Lord's death until he comes. This matter of declaring the Lord's death, notice it doesn't say remember the Lord's death. We're not here to remember the Lord's dying, but we're declaring it because this is a bridge between his first coming and his second coming. Because we're going to be doing this until he comes and feast with him. Right? So when we declare his death, it is to remember, this is just the beginning. Right? What he did on the cross was to allow us to participate in all that he is, all his riches, until he comes again. So this is a bridge between his first and second coming. So when we come to the Lord's table, we need to have the view, and today, later on, we're going to hear about the New Jerusalem. We need to have the view that this bridge, this table that we're enjoying together, brings the Lord closer to his coming back. So when we come to the table with this view, it should stir up a sense of looking forward, just eagerness to participate and enjoy in this table. We should not come in a kind of, oh, it's just another meeting kind of feeling, right? Or I'm here just because it's Sunday, right? When we call it the Lord's Day, because this is the Lord's Day, this is His day for us to remember Him. So we should have the view that we come to enjoy Him and bring Him closer to coming back. And then finally, the last part is to worship the Father. Let me read one more portion in Matthew 26, verses 29 and 30. But I say to you, I shall by no means drink of this product of the vine from now until that day when I drink it with you in the kingdom of my Father. And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then 1 Corinthians 11, 24, actually read that already. So anyway, at the end of the Lord's Supper, right, with his disciples, and there's a reason I didn't have too much time on touch on the supper, but the difference between the Lord's table and the Lord's Supper is that the Lord's Supper, the significance of that is that it is supper. You know, that means it's at the end of the day, everything's finished, the work is done, and it's a restful kind of eating. It's not the Lord's breakfast or Lord's lunch, because after breakfast, often we go to school, we go to work, and we labor, right? But the Lord's Supper implies that this is a restful eating. So here, after the Lord's Supper, the Lord led his disciples to sing a hymn of praise to the Father. So you notice during the Lord's table meeting, at the end, there's a transition where once we are satisfied with the Lord and we sense that the Lord is satisfied, he leads us as the firstborn son of God to praise the Father, to worship the Father. And so we are his many brothers, and he, as our big brother, is leading us to worship the Father. So we need to keep this in mind, that when we come to the table, the first part is worshiping the Lord for who he is. And then the second part is worshiping the Father, led by the Lord as our firstborn son of God and as our big brother, leading us to worship the Father. So anyway, my burden is really to just to impart to you that when we come to the table, it is unto the remembrance of him. And we are receiving him by partaking of this bread and this cup. In a practical sense, we're partaking of these physical symbols, but we need to have a much deeper spiritual sense that what we are participating in is all that the Lord has accomplished for us. And here this morning, we can open our mouths to offer him the praise that he deserves. You know, so hopefully, you know, after this speaking, you have a little bit more of an appreciation of what the Lord's table signifies, that we are here as joint participants of many members of this one body, here to offer our praises to the Lord himself. So I hope that when we sing these praises to the Lord, after each song, there will be a lot of praising to the Lord, and using the lines from the hymns to make that your personal prayer. Make that your offering of your praise to him. And because the Lord is the focus of this meeting, and everything is centered on remembrance of the Lord in this practical way. Amen. I think I will stop here. Maybe we can sing hymn number 223 to worship the Lord.